All right, if you'd stand with me this evening as we turn to Psalms 136. Psalms 136, if we were to title this psalm, we'd title it The Mercy of God, I guess, or The Mercy of the Lord. Let's read the first three verses tonight as we get started in this psalm. When you get through with this psalm, you'll want to sing the hymn, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one and see what God has done. Amen. Notice as we come to this psalm, probably written after the captivity and celebrates God for His mercy. The author is unknown. The theme, as we're going to see, is the mercy of God. Now, I'll show you something interesting about this psalm in just a moment. Notice as we read the first three verses, he says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." Father, we thank You tonight for Your love and mercy and kindness to us. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that You've given us this evening. Lord, in the middle of this week, that we can assemble together tonight. And Lord, we just pray, dear God, for Your anointing and blessing upon the reading of Scripture. And we pray, Lord, that You truly would meet with us this evening. And Lord, we are grateful. We are thankful. And Lord, we do believe that You're good. And Lord, as we come to this psalm tonight, we pray, Lord, You'll speak to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that Your will be done in each of our lives. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the interesting thing about this psalm, let me say just a few things about it before we actually get started in it. There's 26 verses in this psalm. And you'll notice that the latter part, the second half of each verse, is the same 26 times if you read down through this chapter. As a matter of fact, here recently, I had, as we were working our way through the psalms, I had taken a red pencil highlighter, not the ink, but you know what I'm talking about, just a pencil highlighter, and highlighted the latter part of each one of these verses so that it would catch my eye quickly as I turn to this and remind me of what is being said 26 times, repeated over and over. Now, this is not vain repetition in these verses. The mercy of God, which is the theme of this chapter. And 26 times at the end of these verses, I've just said, we find, "For His mercy endureth forever." Quite amazing when you consider this. Now, why the repetition? Well, obviously, it's not vain repetition. And when you think about, you know, of course, we live in a time now, when there is a lot of things that are repeated by way of choruses, not all of them are bad, but when you've got in the CCM circles today, you've got four notes and three words in 2 hours, I think you've got a problem with that. Amen? And I think there's a problem with that. But there's not a problem here in this passage with this phrase being repeated. And how many have ever done any responsive reading or responsive singing? You know what responsive reading is? Responsive reading, it's in a lot of churches. Many churches will do this. And there may be a, if it's a special book for responsive reading, the minister or someone may read first one passage and then the congregation would read the second. Well, there's responsive reading and responsive singing. There's a possibility that here, maybe with the priest or Levites, I don't know this for sure, but a possibility that as this was read or sung at the temple, is that maybe the priest or the Levite would read the first part of the verse, the congregation would, in response, read the latter part of the verse. But as we consider this and we look at it, again, this is not vain repetition. And we are very apt to forget. The Bible tells us, and I'm not asking you to turn there, this just came to my mind as I was saying this, But the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, in verse 3, he's talking about the children of Israel that had rebelled against him. And it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider." So we're very prone to forget the things of God. So we're reminded in this Psalm 26 times that His mercy endureth forever. God does not want us to forget that. His mercy is very important to us. There is no salvation, no eternal life without the mercy of God. But not only that, we see here that as we come to this passage, this psalm, he begins in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." The emphasis is showing emphasis that is placed upon not only the goodness of God, but the mercy of God. And many times, even in our hymns, for instance, if we sing a hymn this evening, or if we sing, well, the psalms wouldn't be as much, some of the psalms that we're singing, but in hymns, let's just take the hymn, one hymn, for instance, Victory in Jesus. We would have, there's three verses in our hymn book with this hymn, Victory in Jesus. There's three verses, and then there's a chorus. And we repeat the chorus over and over. And the chorus, in other words, basically gives us the theme of the hymn. The chorus is, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." And so there's emphasis, the theme of victory in Jesus, and emphasis and placed upon the chorus. It is sung three times with the three verses, and to remind us of what's going on in the hymn. Well, in this psalm, as we read down through here, we see in this passage that as you would read through this and meditate upon it, that this would plant this truth that's mentioned 26 times permanently in our mind. And so this is what God is doing here in this particular passage. Now, basically, we can outline this chapter into three parts. In verses 1, 2, and 3, we have here the call to thanksgiving. The call to thanksgiving, and because of who that God is, calling His people to thanksgiving. In other words, verse 1, 2, and 3 is going to show us who that God is. The second part of this psalm is verses 4 through 25. And we see here the cause for thanksgiving. And we see here, because of what He has done. Because of what He has done. You say, what do you mean? Well, in verses 5 through 9, we see that He's the God of all creation. In verses 10 through 15, we see that He's the God of all redemption. And in verses 16 through 25, He's the God of all providence. In verses 5 through 9, as I said, we see the creation story. In verses 10 through 15, we see here the redemption of the children of Israel, God's people, out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage. In verses 16 through 25, He's the God of providence in the fact that He was with His people 40 years in the wilderness, and He also talks about bringing them into the promised land and conquering the enemies, giving them an inheritance. And then, thirdly, the third section is in verse 26, the conclusion to thanksgiving. And here in this passage is because of where He is. See, verse 1, 2, and 3, we are to thank God because of who He is. In verses 4 through 25, we're to thank God for what He has done. And in verse 26, the conclusion here, we're to thank God because of where He is, and we see that He is in heaven. Verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, there's a few things I want to point out to you this evening before we actually get into the psalm. It'll not take that long in this psalm. We're not going to get bogged down in every little verse. We're going to give an overview of it tonight and just the outline I just gave you. But there's something I want you to notice before we ever get started in this psalm. I want you to turn with me to the book of Chronicles. First Chronicles, I want you to notice with me in chapter 16. And we're going to see in these passages the truth that is given to us in the chorus 26 times, for His mercy endureth forever. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, first of all with David, one verse, verse 34, this is when the ark is brought back to Jerusalem. Now in this chapter, if you were to scan down through this chapter, you'll see them bringing the ark back. You'll see the Levites appointed to minister in verse 4 and 5, verse 6. You'll see David and his words giving thanks in verse 8, singing, speaking of singing psalms in verse 9. And you'll just see him talking about the marvelous works of the Lord as in verse 12. But I want you to notice with me as we come down to verse 34, we have these words. Here's what the writer says. He said, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. This is where that David and the children of Israel are bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, which represented the presence of God. And we see here in this passage of giving thanks to the Lord. Why? Because He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. This is after that David is dead. His son Solomon. The dedication of the temple. Notice as we come here, the dedication of the temple. David had helped gather the materials for this building where God would manifest His glory. And we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, reading two verses from this chapter. You'll notice with me as we come to verse 13 and verse 14, he said this, And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, Now here it is, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. So we see another special occasion where that the Lord came and His glory filled the house, the temple, and this is the dedication. And again, we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you'll notice here 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and here in this passage, we see in verse 3, this is connected with what we've just read. He says in verse 3, And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. Now this is all the people. What are they saying? Say this with me. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's do that again. Say it with me. For He is good, and for His mercy endureth forever. That's responsive. All the people were saying this. Come with me one other time, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and notice with me in verse 21. Here we see Jehoshaphat surrounded by the enemy, and he's calling upon the Lord, another special occasion, needing the glory and presence of the Lord in his, and victory. We see here in verse 21, as the enemies were surrounding the nation of Israel, the Bible said here in verse 21, this is Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, and he said, And when he had consulted with the people he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of His holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, now here's what the choir's doing, here's what they're saying as they go out. They didn't even have to raise a weapon. It says here that praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And verse 22, and they began to sing and to praise. And you'll notice the Lord set ambushments against the children. This is their enemy. As they began to sing and to praise God and to thank God for His goodness and for His mercy, God intervened and destroyed their enemy without them ever firing the first shot. Well, notice as we come back to this psalm, and let's begin now in verse 1. And again, we're just going to give a brief overview of it here this evening. And we see here that the first three verses is the call to thanksgiving. We see that we're to be thankful to God for who that He is. Here in this passage, He says in verse 1, "O, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Now, this is something that we've been seeing in the Psalms. Psalms 106 and verse 1, He is good. Psalms 107 and verse 1, He is good. Psalms 118 and verse 1, He is good, and many other places. Now, why is this important to us? Well, in chapter 135, verses 14 through 18, last week we seen the contrast between God and idols. And here in this passage, we see that God is good. In ancient times, with pagan gods or pagan deities that were worshipped by men, those deities were not good. When you study about the ancient deities that men worshipped, basically people didn't worship them because they were good. The people didn't worship these deities and these pagan gods because that these gods were good. They did not worship. They worshipped them because they wanted to appease them, because they were afraid of them. Now, as we come to this psalm here, we see that God is good. And that's the reason that we worship Him. We're not worshiping God because we believe that God will kill us or destroy us or whatever. We worship Him because He loves us and we love Him, and because that He is good. He says in verse 1, "O, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Now, again, we see here in verse 2, "O, give thanks unto the God of gods." Now, we know ultimately there is no other gods. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 through 6. And also 1 Corinthians 10, verses 18 through 21. Now, there's idols. There's angelic beings. And there's demonic beings and so forth. But we know that there's only one true and living God. We know that to be a fact. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, when he had met with those at Athens on Mars Hill, and you can read about this in Acts chapter 17. I don't remember the exact verses where to start there. Just read the entire chapter. But as you go there to Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul seen the superstition, and he's seen the different idols and the different gods, supposedly, that they worship. And he said, "I want to declare unto you the unknown God." And he began talking to them about the God of all creation. And he says that this God of creation is near unto man. Well, as we come to this passage, we see here in verse 2, he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." There's one true and living God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians turned, I believe it's verse 9, they turned from their idols to serve the true, one true and living God. Revelation chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's called the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then Matthew 22, we're told with God that we're to serve Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then in verse 3, we have these words. He said, "All give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for His mercy endureth forever." If you're taking notes this evening, Deuteronomy 10 and verse 17, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, I'm going to give you one other passage, Revelation chapter 17 and in verse 14. Now you notice each time here, he said, "For His mercy endureth forever." That means it's never ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, He said that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what He's talking about in this passage. Now let's come to our second section here, the calls for thanksgiving. Now again, we divided this up into three sections. The first section, I'm going to say these over once more, and then we're going to briefly look at them. Verses 5 through 9, the cause for our thanksgiving, verses 5 through 9, is that He's the God of all creation. In verses 10 through 15, He's the God of all redemption. Verses 16 through 25, He's the God of all providence. Now, you notice with me, as we come back here in verses 5, and we're just going to briefly read over these. Notice He's the God of all creation. He said in verse 5, "And to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever." Proverbs 3 and verse 19, "By His wisdom He created all things." Jeremiah 51 and verse 15. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. And verse 6, "And to Him that stretches out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights," that'll carry you back to Genesis 1, verses 14 through 18, Deuteronomy 4, verse 19. It says in verse 7, "To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. And the moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever." And as we consider of the passage here and we look at it, we know that everything is in order. The sun, the moon, and the stars. You think about everything is obedient to God day and night. And He not only created everything, but He rules over everything. The heavens declare the glory of God. And so we see that He is the God of all creation. This is one of the reasons that we're to give thanks. God is good. He created all things. Then as we come down to verse 10, and began reading from verse 10 through 15, we see the issue of redemption. He says in verse 10, now He's describing when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt. He says here in verse 10, "He said to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever." We know that the plagues were brought upon the Egyptians. And we know the story there with those plagues and how that God had judged that nation so that they would release His people from bondage. He said in verse 11, "And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever." There was a great deliverance according to Exodus 12, verse 51. What's interesting about Exodus 12 and verse 51 is that the Bible says there, the self-same day is the way it's worded, that God brought them out of Egypt. When God promised to Abraham over 400, many years before that, and they were actually in Egypt over 400 years, the very exact day that God told Abraham, they came out of Egypt. That's exciting when you think about it. He's the God of redemption. And as we read on, He said in verse 12, He said, "And with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever." He said in verse 13, "To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever." We see in these verses from verse 10 through verse 15, we see in these verses very clearly put how that God redeemed the children of Israel out of Egypt. We know that the lamb was slain, the blood was shed, the blood was placed upon the doorpost and the door lintels of the house. And again, I don't know about you, but when I read these, I'm thinking of the New Testament. Some people read these, so well, I don't get nothing out of that. When I read about the door, the blood that was shed, the lamb back there, you can read about it in Exodus chapter 12, the first month, God created a brand new calendar for the children of Israel. And the very first month, on the 10th day of that month, they took that lamb and put it up to make sure that that lamb, a male lamb, was without blemish and without spot. Then 4 days later, on the 14th day of that month, they killed the lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the 10th day of that same month. You know what He was doing? He was being observed. He was put on trial. And He was without spot and without blemish, the Lamb of God. And He was being observed, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And on the 14th day of the first month, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're coming up on that in just about 5 or 6 weeks, but the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. In the Old Testament, that Jew put that blood upon the door post and upon the door lintel of their house. And when that night, we find that as the angel came through, as the Lord came through, it's called Passover. The Lord passed over those and those homes were protected by the blood of the Lamb. And that's how that you and I are saved. We're saved by taking that blood and applying it to our heart. You see, it wasn't good enough to know about the Lamb. It wasn't good enough to even know about the blood. It wasn't good enough even to shed the blood. They had to take a basin, put the blood in it, and hyssop, and take the hyssop and dip it in the blood and paint it on the door lintel and the doorpost of their house. And then for a person to be saved today, they have to take the blood and apply it to the doorpost and the door lintels of their hearts. That's the only way that they can be saved. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not good enough to know about it. The Egyptians probably knew about it. They probably saw it. And all of this, it wasn't good enough. But every person that put that blood upon their house, that family was saved that particular night. And so as I read those stories back there, they come alive as we consider New Testament truth. Now, as we move on in the passage, we also see here, we see the wilderness journey, and then we see the promised land. You'll notice with me that as we read from notice with me in verse 16, he says here in verse 16, "To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever." Notice while they're coming through the wilderness, God's hand is upon his people, upon this nation. As we read on, he said in verse 21, "And gave their land," that is these kings, he said, "and gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an inheritance unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembereth us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever." While we see the wonderful truths of God in these passages here. And then we see in verse 25, "Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever." I can stand before you this evening at 57 years of age, and I've never missed a meal because I didn't have the food. Now, I've missed some because I've wanted to, maybe fasting or just didn't want to eat, but I've never missed a meal because that I did not have something to eat. God has supplied His servant with food. Now, you notice as we come to the conclusion of this psalm, you'll notice with me that in verse 26, he said, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." Again, here's the chorus. Repeat it with me. "For His mercy endureth forever." See, if you'd have said that each time, you'd have said it with me 26 times this evening. And you know, when I think about this, let me just give you a couple of thoughts. You can turn away. We'll turn to two of the passages before we close tonight. But in Psalms chapter 23, I want you to notice there, a wonderful psalm, Psalm chapter 23. And we'll read one verse from this psalm. Notice in verse 6, he said, surely goodness and mercy, notice, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice, surely goodness and mercy. Mercy. Notice with me in Psalms 100. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 100, we sing this psalm. We sing both of these psalms. I think we probably ought to sing Psalms 136 as well. All right. Let one of you put the melody to that. Notice with me in Psalms 100. We have here in verse 5. He said, for the Lord, notice this, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. One other passage, you don't have to turn to it. Lamentations 3:22 says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We're not consumed. We're not consumed. And it's because of the Lord's mercy. His mercy. You see, God is concerned for His people. God loves His people. And I've been telling a few people here lately that we've talked about. Matter of fact, one man last night, we talked about the economy and different things that are going on and whatever. This is the time for us to trust the Lord and see what the Lord can do. We saw that He carried, do you believe that He carried His people 40 years in the wilderness? And their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, and they got water, that rock that followed them, and the manna that came from heaven. And when they, for 40 years in the wilderness, God supplied all of their needs. Do we believe that God can do that today? He supplied their spiritual needs. He supplied their physical needs. He gave them everything that they needed. We can give thanks to the Lord tonight because His mercy endureth forever. Do you believe that we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you believe we serve the same God that Abraham served? Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe we serve the same God that Paul served? Do you believe that? We do. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He's also our God as well. We're going to stop right here.